Take your Bibles, if you will, 2 Samuel chapter 11, 2 Samuel chapter 11, and beginning at verse 1. It came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him in all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her. She came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David that, and said, "I am with child." Dear Heavenly Father, protect us. Lord, help us in our daily walk to keep our eyes where they belong. And Lord, we pray now that your hand of blessing will be upon this service and these that are here today. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. We have been in a series of lessons based on the HGTV program Fixer Uppers. We had an introduction about David's sin with Bathsheba. The next week we had the inspection. You know, if you're going to have some work done at your house, you have the inspector come in and look at what needs are to be done. So we had the inspection. Then we had Mother's Day, and we had a special lesson. And then I was gone in Texas, and Nathaniel had that lesson. And when I came back, we had Memorial Day, and so we had another special lesson. And so now we're to the third part of demolition. Demolition. Demolition means to wreck, leveling. Raising. Do you like that word, raising? R-A-Z-I-N-G. You raise a building, an old building, so you can raise a new building. I think that's neat. We find it means to tear down or to annihilate. If you're going to have an inspection of your spiritual house, you need a good inspector, and that is the Word of God and Jesus Christ. General Robert E. Lee said upon his spiritual inspection, "I can only say that I am nothing but a poor sinner, trusting only in Christ alone for salvation." May I say this, that a demolition can be very painful. It can hurt. We find that David not only was immoral, but then he ended up trying to cover his sin. He brought Uriah the Hittite back from the battlefront and tried to get him to go to his wife, and he would not. And so David sent a letter back to the captain of the guard and said, "Put this man in the hottest part of the battle and then draw away from him." In other words, let him be killed. And so he was guilty not of immorality, but of murder. And then we find that David was confronted by Nathan, who told him a parable in which David got angry with in every good story, there's the good guy and the bad guy. Well, he was angry with the bad guy, and he said, "He should die." And Nathan said, "Thou art the man. You have sinned." Now, I'll be honest with you. If Jesus Christ was standing in the pulpit this morning and he began pointing at you and declaring your sin, I tell you what, we'd be very uncomfortable, wouldn't we? If he came up and he said, "Now, Paul Madonna, I want you to sit on the front row and I'm going to start with you." Do you think I'd want that? Then he went to Lewis and Pastor Stephen and worked in his way around. And by the time he got done with this side would be empty. Amen? Amen. You'd all be leaving. Do you remember the story of the woman taken in adultery? And they wanted to stone her. And Jesus kneeled down and began writing. And they began to leave, the oldest and to the youngest. Jesus knows your life. Are you brave enough for an inspection? For an inspection. A number of years ago when we sold the first house that we had purchased, and the people were coming in to look at it, and they looked around. You're kind of nervous, aren't you? You're wanting to sell your house and you know, you live with it and you think whatever issues there may be, they should live with, right? Yeah. And so they decided that, yes, they wanted the house, and they sent an inspector. And the inspector said, "Well, you need to take care of this and this and this and this." And I thought, "Phooey, we'll just stay here." Of course, my wife said, "No, we won't." So you know what we did? We fixed this and this and this and this. You know, the fact of the matter is, an inspection occurs every time we come into the presence of the Lord. You can be sitting by yourself reading your daily devotion. You could be driving in your car listening to good Christian music. You can be in the house of God and hearing the word of God, and there is an inspection, and the Lord will convict us of our sins. Now, the fact of the matter is, when we are convicted, does that mean we have to do anything about it? In most cases, we don't do anything about it. Why? Because we learn to live with it. We learn to live with it. Let me give you an example. In our parking lot out here, the property line is right along the parking lot. We don't have a whole lot of room, even though we cut the grass over about two swipes of the tractor lawnmower. We don't own that property. But there is a tree out there, and in the tree, there is a plastic bag that's been hanging from one of the branches. Anybody see that? Some of you have seen it. I'm surprised anybody would admit to it. But it's out there. It's been out there for 3 or 4 months. How many times do you think I thought I should take a ladder out there and get that plastic bag? How many times do you think I've thought that? Every time I see it. Have I done it? No, when you leave, you'll see it's out there. It's a gray bag hanging in the branches of the tree. What has happened? I've learned to accept it, haven't I? Yeah, I have. Do you think that happens in our spiritual lives also? We learn to accept where we are not as strong as we should be? Absolutely. If you would, the book of Psalms, chapter 51, Psalm 51. So we had the introduction where we told you that there was a problem. We had the inspection where we see that there is an issue and that issue needs to be corrected. We find now the demolition. If we're going to repair things, we have to remove that which is wrong. We begin reading at verse 5. David, the author, has written this after his sin with Bathsheba and after Nathan the prophet has come in and confronted him. It says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide my face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. In iniquity, folks, we are all born into sin. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, every human being that followed afterwards was a sinner. We sin. I don't like the fact that I'm a sinner. Does it bother you that you're a sinner? Boy, that didn't go over very well. I'm going to ask it again. Does it bother you that you are a sinner? It should all should be bothered by it. But like I said, we grow used to it. We grow used to it. How many of you, as you're driving down the freeway at 70 miles an hour, you see a police officer there with his gun, you're doing 75, you don't worry at all, do you? Why don't you worry if the speed limit's 70 and you're doing 75? Because they're not going to pull you over at 75, are they? You have to be doing 80 or more. I tell you what, we're in Texas, speed limit 75. Yeah, that's pretty good. And these cars come flying by. I mean, whoa, I thought, where are the police? Do you know we drove from Sterling Heights to Arlington, Texas? Where did we see the most state troopers?
Ohio.
Do you know we did not see a state trooper once we left Ohio until we got back to Ohio? We saw none in Kentucky. We saw none in Tennessee. We saw none in Arkansas. We saw none in Texas. Isn't that amazing? But those people in Ohio, woo! Watch out. They're going to get you. It's interesting. All of you knew that too. In the hidden parts. You know, we cover up sin, don't we? Well, we hide it. You know, you find the problems of a house often behind the drywall. You see the problems. The water issues. It's not a good thing. We have this roof here, nice wood. On top of it is insulation, and on that is a vinyl covering. If you were to go into this room after the service, it's got a drop ceiling. And in two places, there's water damage because people shot off fireworks and they landed on the vinyl. Burned some little holes in it. They had to come back and repair it. But how did we know that there was a problem in there? We saw the water damage, right? Absolutely. If you were to come up and look on the platform here, you'll find that there's some water damage on the modesty rail. Because at one point in time, we had water damage. We had water leak. What do you do when you have a water leak in your roof? Do you just look at it and say, oh, that's too bad? You fix it, don't you? You fix it. Because it's the right thing to do. What if there's an issue in our spiritual house? Should we fix it? We should fix it. But many people try to cover it up. Cover it up. We find in verse 7, it says, purge, clean. Get it rid of the issue. I was talking to a person the other day who had had cancer. Don't you hate the word cancer? I tell you what, a number of us have had it. Some of you are even now suffering with it. And we have cancer. Do you want the cancer? Do you want it removed? Well, you want it removed, don't you? You want it controlled. You want to get rid of it. Purge me with hyssop. And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Our spiritual house needs to have an inspection. And if there is an issue, if there is a problem, it should be attacked. it should be removed. In verse 8, it talks about the broken bones. Number of years ago, you remember when the Mississippi River flooded and there were great floods along the Mississippi River? And one of them was in Dubuque, Iowa. And Dubuque, Iowa was a place where Bob and Marilyn Plennis, former members of our church, they had gone out to start a church, and they had floodwaters in their house. And so when they went in to repair it, and they tore down the drywall, they found that the house had been altered at some point in time. And when the house had been altered, they had made the repairs and the changes very poorly. And they actually had to take down all that had been done years before. Because someone said, once the drywall is up, nobody will know. Nobody will see it. It's covered up. Some of you have covered up your sins. We don't know about them. And I'm glad. But you know about them. And you live with them. And it bothers you. And you battle with it. And you say, I should change. But change is not easy, is it? Change is hard. It's hard. And we find that we want the broken bones healed. And then in verse 9 it says, blotted out. Blot out all my iniquities. Remove it. Make it so that it's not part of my life anymore. Tear it apart. I have some thoughts here. We need to remove the bad relationships. I've long said that our best friends should be born again believers. But we can have bad relationships. They can begin in high school, junior high school, college, move into a new neighborhood, and someone is there, and you have a bad relationship, and bad relationships lead to many bad things. How about bad habits? Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand and say, I've got a bad habit and this is it. Because you know why I'm not going to ask you? Because you'd ask me to ask or say, well, why don't you tell me us some of yours? And I'm not going to tell you. And my wife is sworn to secrecy. The bad habits. What do you think we should do with bad habits? Have them removed? Yes. If you have a tooth that has decay in it, what do you think you should do with that tooth? Get it fixed, right? I'm uncomfortable about some things right now. I just got a postcard saying that my next dental appointment is this month. I'm not too happy about it. I don't know what I did with that card. I may have thrown it away. Did you see it? You think you saw it? Do you know what day it is? I don't know either. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Bad habits. You think it's a good thing to brush your teeth? Uh-huh. That's a good habit, right? Yeah. Use your deodorant. Use your Dial. Don't you wish everyone did? Do you remember that commercial? How many of you remember that commercial? Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Bad actions. I remember when a professional basketball player said, I am not to be your kid's example. You know, we are an example to anybody that's watching us, right? Bad habits, bad actions, bad justifications. And you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? When we justify doing bad, when we call evil good, when we say, it's just a little thing. No, we need to be right and proper. Bad morals. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Quickly, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13. We're running out of time. Some of you took more than a minute to shake hands, so I may need your minute back. But Romans chapter 13, we're going to begin reading at verse 11. Romans 13, beginning at verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Demolition time for some of us. Time to remove some things from our lives. If you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're beginning reading at verse 3 down through verse 6. 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Notice, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Pulling down the strongholds, those things that need to be removed from our lives, and casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Then I like that verse 6, revenge all disobedience. Remove all disobedience with what? Obedience. Doing that which is right. Shall we stand together? Maybe there's something in your life that needs to be removed. Now, I'll be honest with you, when we give an invitation and someone comes forward, I hope our thought isn't, oh, I wonder what they did. An invitation is a time to get things right with the Lord. And there may be something in your life that right now you need to take care of. Maybe there's something in the life of a family member, a child, a mate, and you want to come and pray and say, Lord, help them. Help them. Because, folks, we live in a day and age in which we need to make a stand for what is right. In a moment, we're going to sing a song of invitation. There's a great day coming. There is a great day. We're going to meet our Lord. But there's a sad day coming too, because of those who are lost and do not know Christ as their Savior. And the best way we can be a testimony to them is by our walk, and that we are walking in a right and proper way. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that during this invitation time, that the Spirit would move, hearts would be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.